Recently, Beto O'Rourke announced his bid for the presidency, and like some of the millennials, he's claiming that fighting climate change is the great moral issue of our day. We supposedly have only about 12 years to go if the present trends continue. How are we to understand these kinds of claims? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we welcome back to the program Greg Wrightstone, who's written a very important book. It contains many facts, more than 60, or at least about 60. And the title of the book is Inconvenient Facts, and the subtitle is The Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. Greg, thanks again for joining us on the program.
Oh, great to be back on with you again. This is maybe our third or fourth time, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so how are we to understand this Green New Deal and these claims that, oh, we only have 12 years left, and, oh, this is the World War II of our day, fighting climate change?
Yeah, well, I'm in the middle of writing a commentary referencing that warning of 12 years, because they keep repeating it time after time after time. In 2005, the UN announced there would be 50 million climate refugees by the year 2010. And so I went back in my book, I captured what the census numbers were in 2010 compared to 2005. It turns out the most at-risk islands, they had provided a handy map showing which islands were most at risk. We captured there how the populations were increasing greatly. People were moving to the islands instead of fleeing from them. So then in 2015, the same UN group made the same claim. By 2020, there will be 50 million climate refugees from these low at-risk islands. We're almost there, and I don't think it's going to happen. So they have a history of making these projections, and one of the mistakes they make, they need to make it 30 or 50 years in the future instead of just 10, you know? Because if it was 30 years, everybody would be dead or no one would remember. So they have a history of these things. And as you know from talking to me, if we look, instead of what they do is they're making speculation about what might happen 30, 50, or 80 years in the future based on failed climate models. Where what I do, I look and I say, what's actually happening today, right? Mm-hmm. We've been warming for 300 years. We've been adding CO2 in earnest for, what, the last 60 or 70 years. Shouldn't we see some result, something negative? But instead, we see an Earth and humanity that are thriving and prospering. The Earth is greening and prospering. That's what's actually happening. So they have to rely on these failed climate models and then look way into the future to see things that might or might not occur.
You know, I suppose in one sense the question is CO2 our enemy or our friend? And before you answer that, let me just say for the record, 12 years from now is 21, I'm sorry, is 2031, correct?
30. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So in the year... All right, so in the year of our Lord, 2031, all right, everybody mark your calendars, January 2031. By that time, if these present trends, you know, continue, then the whole world will be ending that particular year. Maybe we could say, let's discuss this on January 1, 2032, you know, when it's supposedly over and then the world is over. It's ridiculous. It's like prophecies about Jesus coming back, you know, in this particular year or that particular year.
Yeah. Well, I've got a prediction right here for you. In the year 2031, we'll be growing a lot more crops. There will be a lot healthier people. The water and air will be cleaner. Hmm. And, Earth will be Earth, both Earth and humanity will be prospering, because that's what we've seen. Well, you know, I'm not sure if you've ever read Clausen's book, The 5,000-Year Leap, but it was, he talked about how 5,000 years of human advancement has been compressed into the last 100 or 150 or so years. And we see all this. We look historically in the rearview mirror. Man, humanity has just kept advancing and advancing and prospering, and we're growing more and more crops every year, feeding more people. These people look into the future and see nothing but doom, despair, and destruction. I'm an optimist, and I think we'll continue this era of prosperity, and we can look over human history over the last 4,500 years to find out that the warming trends like we're in right now have always led to huge prospering of civilizations with bountiful crops, plenty. There was plenty of food for everybody. They didn't have to worry about grubbing for your next meal. It was the cold periods where crop failure, famine, pestilence, and mass depopulation took place. That's exactly opposite of what we're being told. Exactly opposite. And that's what we see so many times when we look at each one of these, of what I call the climate apocalypse events, that what they're predicting and what's actually happening are 180 degrees opposite.
Wow. By the way,
crazy.
One of the things that I learned in your book that I had not realized, but it only makes sense, the book Inconvenient Facts, is that people tend to die more from cold than from heat. And that's a very interesting thing.
And a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not even... Historically, the largest study of its time kind ever done was in 2016. A large team of physicians across the world, led by Dr. Gasparini, looked at 74 million temperature-related deaths from 14 different countries. And what they found that were that 20 times as many people die cold due to cold-related deaths as due to heat-related deaths. So it only stands to just logically that warming temperatures will save lives. Another study looked at temperature-related deaths in England and Wales, and they found the rate was 15 times. So whether it's 15 or 20 times, too many more people die due to cold than heat, either one, it still is not completely opposite of what they're telling us. It is. They're predicting famine and depopulation and mass deaths due to rising temperatures, when history and what we're learning right now in the science, the facts, and the data tell us exactly the opposite. And you'll hear me say that a lot. Exactly the opposite. What we're being told is what's actually happening.
Well, and you're an earth scientist with 35 years experience as a geologist. Is CO2 our enemy or our friend?
Oh, it's the miracle molecule. All of this revolves around a demonization of carbon dioxide. And that's before we go too much farther. Our current levels of carbon dioxide is about 400 parts per million. And we've added about 120 parts per million since the Industrial Revolution. But that pales in comparison to what the average throughout Earth's history, going back to the Precambrian, it's averaged 2,600 parts per million, 6.5 times as much carbon dioxide in the past, and Earth thrived and prospered and did both plants and animals did very, very well at higher levels of carbon dioxide. We're actually carbon dioxide impoverished compared to most of Earth's history. And in fact, we got, at the end of the last ice age, we got to 172 parts per million, which was within a whisker of what I call the line of death. That's the minimum threshold for plant life to exist. That, at the end of the last ice age, was the lowest CO2 levels going back to the Precambrian era, 600 million years ago. So we're actually CO2 impoverished.
Yeah, obviously some people would disagree on these years and so forth, but let's focus on the Green New Deal. What are your thoughts about that? Obviously you would oppose it, but what are the implications of it? I mean, it seems like not only would we go bankrupt, but it's all based on a flawed premise. So it's like, why would you have a false remedy to rectify something that's not even correctly diagnosed?
Right. I call it a solution in search of a problem, and it's a painful solution at that. What it'll do is it would drive up energy costs for everyone, but it's really a regressive taxation system in that it would punish the poorest among us the most, and it would be just horrible thing to have happen. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. It's impossible. We can look to India, who just over the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, they had a report that came out where they've scaled back their targets. They had targeted 55% renewables by 2030. The report came back and said, we're just, there's no way we can do it. What they've instead done is doubled down on coal-fired electricity. They've increased their investment in coal electric plants by 20%, opened up 20 new lignite and coal mines, and they've just achieved 100% electrification for the country. That's a really good thing.
Wow.
That means you're lifting these people up out of energy poverty. Mm-hmm. They don't have to cook over dried dung or wood in their homes mm-hmm. and suffer lung disease and early death because of that. They can now use the electricity across the entire country to live more and more bountiful lives, and that's a good thing. And I'm a member of the Cornwall Alliance. You're familiar with the Cornwall
yes,
Alliance.
Yes, sir, Cal sure. Beisner.
Mm-hmm. Cal Beisner, right. Cornwall.org. And the group believes that we should use all of God's creation for the betterment of mankind and do it as good stewards. And, you know, it's a great philosophy that we should, that should be, that's the climate policy we need. It's an all of the above energy strategy. Because I see CO2 as being hugely beneficial for the Earth. I'm not sure if you know what's going on with my smartphone app. I don't know if you've heard about
it. No, I understand there's some kind of censorship of it from Apple.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah, we launched this app in the middle of February. Actually, it was on the Glenn Beck show. Blew it up. We had 13,000 downloads in the first 2 weeks. Really, really popular. Apple had approved it early February. It was up for sale for a month, and then they notified us that it was not approved, and they took it down February just 2 weeks ago. Well, last Monday.
Oh, man.
And they removed it from the App Store. Unbelievable.
Why?
Unbelievable. They said it lacked compelling content. This thing was awesome. We had tech bloggers writing about this outstanding new app that people needed to go get. There's nothing like it out there. It was groundbreaking. I think it was too effective. And you know what the name of my book is, and what vice president is featured prominently on the front cover is Al Gore. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you guess who sits on the board of directors of Apple, former 70-year-old vice president. So I think they needed to take it down. It's really, really, really unusual and rare for them to approve an app and then remove it, unless you're putting pornography up, or if it's. I mean, they did it with Alex Jones and InfoWars. They did it with. You can go back. None of these things where they did it before relate to my app, because this is a science-based application. But. It's blown up. It was the lead story on Drudge for 2 days earlier this week.
So really what this boils down to is censorship. By the way, this is being recorded on March 15th, 2019. We always work a little bit ahead, but I just want to timestamp that. But there's a censorship of this idea. And this is why people like Beto O'Rourke or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez think, oh, you know, the world is ending and we got to fight this. But that's all they're hearing, I guess. We have 45 seconds left, Greg.
Yeah, this is, it's still up on for Androids at the Google Play Store, so you can go get it. We had 8,500 downloads yesterday. We've had close to 15,000 in 3 days.
Well, how do you find it?
Just search for Inconvenient Facts.
Inconvenient Facts.
Play Store.
Okay. So it basically just gives you information about this kind of stuff. Well, we're basically out of time.
Puts all this information and puts the information in the palm of your hand.
Sure. Inconvenientfacts.xyz for more information. Again, the name of Greg Wrightstone's book is Inconvenient Facts, and the subtitle is The Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. Really doesn't want you to know. Greg, thanks so much for being with us.
Really, really, really doesn't want you to know.
That's right. Okay, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.